on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Friday, September 25th edition of InvestTalk. And as always, this is our one-hour helpline for you and really anyone who wants to improve their money management skills and just learn more about the market and how to be successful and how to invest successfully. So Steve and I do everything we can to answer your questions and bring you the information and the ideas that may otherwise have missed, that you may otherwise have missed. There's a lot out there to digest from the media, and we try to be a place where the media doesn't matter too much. It's really about the market, companies, sectors, and asset classes that you can use or you can invest in to make money. Okay? Now, because the world is constantly changing, we all have to keep learning. And that is our goal here on InvestTalk, is to help you learn. And that's our job every day, is to continue to learn for our clients. And one of the tools that we offer to help broaden your knowledge and perspective is our weekly premium newsletter. Comes out today. All our clients get it for free. But if you want to subscribe to it, you can. It's $9.99 a month. It's not expensive at all, but it comes out four times a month. Well, sometimes five, I guess. It comes out every Friday. And there's a lot that goes into it. We put a lot of effort into it, a lot of time, and it's a great resource for everybody to gain some perspective on the market and some stock ideas and some tips on how to better manage your money. And then also, we have the last part is more of a personal finance section that we do. And today is about one of my talking points today. It's about Amazon Prime. That's pretty interesting as well. So we're going to get to that. Now, as we do on most Fridays, let's skim to the top of our premium newsletter content for this week. Goes out to subscribers every Friday, like I said. And we always start out with current market conditions. There was very little data out this week on the U.S. economy. We had the existing housing report. We had the durable goods report. And there was not much else to report in the way of data. The stock market here in the U.S. is still in a correction mode, and we offer some details of this week's movement in the market. Is there a possibility of recession? The market can be a predictor, and we offer our view on that. We wrap up this section with our own response to the current market. We at KPP Financial took steps prior to the correction to hedge against the market fall, and we continue to do so. And in our popular stock ideas segment, we point out that hedging your equity exposure or simply trying to make money on the downside of the market has and will always be difficult, but it is possible if you know what you're doing. We offer some suggestions on that front as well. Now, in the portfolio management section, we talk about the importance of the credit markets to the strength of the stock market and the overall economy. And a healthy credit market drives economic activity and thus corporate profits. So how can you track the credit market? And I showed you, this is a section that I wrote, I showed you three ways that you can track the credit markets. What do you look at to see how healthy the credit markets are? Okay. Now, each week, the newsletter concludes with a consumer watch, like I said, and that talks about Amazon Prime and its product and is having a sale today, and is it worthwhile, and can you save money using Amazon Prime? And there's actually two ways to look at it. You might save some money, but also might spend too much money as well. So we're going to talk about that. So there's a quick glance. There's a quick glance at our premium newsletter for this week, and you can try it out for $9.99 a month with a money back guarantee, and you'll receive it each Friday via email. And the sign up, just go to investtalk.com. So let's get you in on the conversation. Let's get the conversation going. You can join in and bring your question to us anytime you think might be a time for you to ask it. 24 hours a day, does not matter. 8899 chart is the number. We always like live calls. Live calls are always better. So if you are listening live,
hi,
dial that
Stephen
number.
Justin. Hi, Stephen Justin. This is Jason from Oakland. And I have a question regarding the S&P and the Dow. Not so much about the indexes, but about the companies that own them, Standard & Poor's and Dow Jones. How do those companies make money off the indexes? That's my question. And again, thank you guys so much for all the education. It's been invaluable. Thanks. Bye.
How do Dow Jones and S&P make money off of the indexes? Well, they sell the rights to naming like the SPYs, the SPYs, S&P 500 Trust. Right, they sell the rights to data companies, and you know they sell those rights because those are indexes that are widely followed. For example, we have to pay on our website. If you go to investtalk.com, you will see a section that gives you an update on the market. Right, if you scroll down a little bit, there's a section. Go to it right now. I'm trying to remember exactly what it looks like. But there's a section on there called Market Ticker. And we have the NASDAQ, the NYC, the S&P 500, and the Amex. And we pay for that. And from a data company, the data company pays a portion of that to the makers of those indexes. So that's how they make money. There's a reason the Dow actually isn't on there. One, because we don't like it. It's 30. Everyone follows it, but it's probably the most irrelevant index in the market. It's 30 stocks, price weighted. It doesn't make a lot of sense to follow it on a daily basis, even though everyone does. Oh, the Dow it's because it moves the most. Oh, it's 200 points. You know, the NASDAQ moved 48 points today. That's a big move for the NASDAQ. S&P moved less than 1 point. But if the Dow moved 47 points like the NASDAQ did today, you would think that's no big deal. Okay, so that's why it's used. It's just a bigger number. But we don't have it because it costs more, and we don't think it benefits people that are visiting our site. So that's a good rundown of the major indexes. Now, three things you should never do with a 401k. That's our main talking point today. How do you manage your 401k account? Is it managed properly? Are you doing the right things? Are you making mistakes? A lot of people do. It's okay to make mistakes, just don't make consistent mistakes. That's the issue. So we're going to talk about what those possibly could be. And then I also want to talk about a few other things. One, there's something going on with investor cash flows that has not happened since 1990. 25 years. It's been a while since this happened, so I'm going to touch on that. I also want to discuss, like I said, Amazon Prime. Is it worth it? There's a lot that goes into being an Amazon Prime. I'm an Amazon Prime member, and there's a lot of value to it. I'll talk about what I use, what I don't use, I think it saves me money, how studies show it saves you money, but also how studies say it might cost you more money as well. So we'll talk about that. And then, is the gold market changing? Gold's up pretty nicely this month, and very nicely from its lows in late July. It's up about, call it 5-6%. And the stock market from late July is probably down, we'll call the S&P is down about 10%. Yeah, About 10% since then. So quite the divergence. So is there something going on, something changing in the gold market? So we'll talk about that as well. Now, I'm Justin Klein. I want to welcome your comments and questions today. Steve is in Portland, Oregon, meeting with some listeners. During his time there, he is going to be doing some portfolio reviews. And if you would like a second opinion on your retirement portfolio, and you live in the San Ramon area, he is scheduled there for September 30th. That's next week. And if you'd like to schedule a retirement portfolio review with Steve, just go to investtalk.com, click on the schedule a meeting button. The listen line is open right now. I want to hear from you. What is on your mind to close the week? Remember, the end of the week is always the most important for markets. People don't realize that, but what happens at the end of the week is always most important. So give us a call. 888-99-CHART is our number. This is Invest Talk. Let's go to Jacob in Detroit, Michigan. How you doing, Jacob?
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing good. What can I do for you?
I just had a question about what's your opinion of inverse volatility ETF as an investment tool? And how do you think they're going to perform in the future market or even in like a bear market?
Are you talking about like SVXY? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, like VIV, like VIV, something not short-term but the mid-term inverse volatility ETF.
They're probably not going to do that well in a bear market. They do very well when volatility is low, right? Where the worries of the market are not that high because they sell volatility. And when the volatility index stays low, the VIX stays low, they make a lot of money because they're short the VIX. But then when volatility spikes like it did in August, right, then they really get taken to the woodshed. Like SVXY went from 95 a share in early August down to $45 a share by the end of August. So they're great when the market is trending upwards, but they're not so hot when problems arise, and we're starting to see those problems.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Jacob. He was asking about short volatility ETFs. These are kind of opposite of volatility ETFs. There we go. There goes Jacob. So if volatility stays high, which it has, then they're going to lose money. Remember, they're short volatility. Just like if you're short a stock and the stock goes up, you're feeling the pain. Same thing with these short volatility index. Now, typically, they've done very well. For example, SVXY, when it came out in 2011, it was at $10, $10 a share. Went all the way up to, like I said, $95 a share in August, and now you're at $45. So you're still up 500% from when at the beginning. So these are good investment vehicles over the long term, but they're extremely volatile. And in a bear market, they will continue to be. You want to be in one of these things when you see a bull market, and I think that's when they will really outperform. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein, and today our main talking point gives you some guidance regarding your 401k. Maybe you have a question about how to be defensive in volatile markets, how to take a more protective stance with your portfolio. Hey, just going to cash isn't always the best answer. Might be a good answer, might not be the best answer though. There's always opportunity in every market, even bear markets. All right. Now our number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'd love to talk to you this hour.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast, Why Market Routes Rattle ETFs. That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. Bring your questions and join us then.
Let's go talk to Emilio in Los Angeles. How you doing, Emilio?
Hello, Sir Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're in L.A. or are you in Greece?
No, I'm here. I'm actually in Orange County.
Oh, okay, perfect. So you're
yeah,
near us.
Yeah, no, I've been yearning to come back, and I'm just so elated.
Well, come visit us. Come down to the our office in Dana Point.
I did. I told Steve I would do it. I want to come and say hello to you guys down there.
All right, well, come on down.
Okay, man, I will. Hey, I just wanted to ask you if you like GE or what you think, basically.
Well, I like GE as a company. I think they've done a lot of good things since the financial crisis, meaning they've pared down their GE Capital division dramatically. They've sold off a lot of assets at good times. So they've done some very, very good things. And over the long term, it's a good company. Now, the issue is you have an industrial sector that is weakening. You have a financial sector that, you know, if things keep going the way they are with the credit markets, you know, are going to continue to weaken, and that's not going to help what's left of GE Capital either. So I like GE as a whole company for a long term, but I still think it's going to get, if the market continues to go down, then GE will continue to go down.
You think the market's on its way down? You think it's just a correction?
I think it's going to continue to go down until, you know, it's not going to go down in a straight line. There's always going to be rallies, but the vector of the market is now negative. And the market really needs QE. The Fed's addicted to the market to QE. And now that we stopped QE at the end of last year, November of last year, and ever since then, you know, the market's been kind of sideways, and now it's down. Now it's down about 5 or 6% since the end of QE. So the credit markets need QE, and that's why the credit markets have been deteriorating. And until the credit markets improve, it's going to be hard for the stock market to improve.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. I just didn't know. It's hard for an average person to understand if we're in a correction. Is this a downward market? You know, what's going on, I think.
Yeah, well, that's why we're here. You know, we can kind of guide people on what to look for. And like I said, the credit markets are really the most important markets to look at. Everyone looks at the stock market. What did the Dow do today? What did the S&P do today? And that, certainly that matters, and that's important. But what's most important is how well the credit markets are functioning and how much risk people are taking in the credit markets. And people have been reducing their level of risk, or investors, big institutional investors, have been reducing their risk in the credit markets. And that's who invests in the credit markets, are big institutional investors. The average person doesn't really move the needle in the credit markets. But
no, it's the big guys.
Yeah, it's the big guys. It's the pension funds, the hedge funds, etc., that are really, and the mutual funds that are really moving the credit markets. And yield spreads are widening out, and that means it's going to cost more for companies to borrow, and borrow to do projects, to buy back shares, etc. And that makes it more difficult. And so that is why it's hard for me to see the stock market really rebound to any meaningful extent without the credit markets improving. So that's really what I see. So GE, it's a good company, certainly should be on your watch list 100%. But if you're looking 10 years out, yeah, you'll be fine. But, you know, next year or two, it could certainly go lower.
Got it. All right, sir. Nice talking to you. You guys have a great weekend. I'm going to come down and see. We'll have coffee.
Sounds good, Amelia. I got a great coffee shop by your office.
Okay.
Thanks, Amelia. Have a good one. That was GE General Electric is what he was asking for. And, you know, that goes to really any, not any company. Most companies in the market are going to move with the overall market. So if the overall market has a downward bias, then most stocks in the market are also going to have a downward price. Because remember, the indexes, the major indexes, are just an aggregate of the companies within the market. Okay? So understand that, and make sure you realize that. And this is the time to be extra careful. This is one time when the average person has a lot of trouble. And that's why we're here. We're here to help guide you. We're also here for our clients to help guide them and invest them and find the right opportunities. When the market goes up and up and up, the average person, that's easy. You buy the index and it goes up. That's a piece of cake. It's when volatility hits and you have bear markets, you have choppy markets, That's when an advisor like us is most valuable. So let's take a look, quick look at today's market. We had the S&P down, like I said, less than 1 point, very modest down day. The NASDAQ, however, was down about 48 points, and small cap stocks were also down pretty markedly. The IWM, which is the ETF that tracks small caps, that was down about 1.5%. That was not good. And I've said this before. NASDAQ and small caps, those are the two indexes that you want to see outperform for the market to go up. When they underperform, that means the market is weaker than what you might see in the headlines for the S&P or the Dow, right? And the market started up big early today, and it really faded in the last couple hours. And the credit markets didn't improve today. High yield credit still sold off. So still a lot of issues. This is Invest Talk. Thanks for investing this hour with us. Are you taking risks that you don't even know about? Try our free risk tool, risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. It's important to know how much risk is appropriate for you and how much risk your current portfolio is exposed to, which we can help you analyze. It's there for you on investtalk.com. Some things that you never do in your 401k. Number one, overdose on company stock. So many people do this. About 40% of plan sponsors, meaning companies, allow investors to invest in their own company shares as an investment option. And a lot of times there's discounts, which is good. And you certainly should take advantage of that those discounts. But you should never overweight yourself in that your own company stock. Just think of WorldCom and Enron. Think of all the people that had so much money tied into that company. Within their company. Not only did they lose their jobs, but they lost their whole retirement savings if they over-leveraged themselves just to their company stock. We saw this in 99, 2000. We had people coming to us from Qualcomm. We had employees of Qualcomm. We had secretaries at Qualcomm come to us. They had millions of dollars in Qualcomm stock. And I said, what should we do? And we said, you got to diversify. You got to sell. And they said, no. I can't do that. I'm making too much money. And then what happened? Well, the dot-com bust happened, and they lost 70% of their money. They came back to us and said, what do I do now? And we said, we should have listened to us and diversified your portfolio. So don't over-leverage yourself to one particular company. No more than 10, 15%. Of your portfolio should be in one in your own company stock. Especially when you think about you already are tied financially with your job to that one company. Don't make your retirement portfolio have the same vector as well. Then, betting on two risky investments. A lot of people do that. Especially in bull markets, they chase. They say, okay, what happened in the last year, 2 years, 3 years? I'm going to invest in those funds. Without any regard for how much risk they took to get those returns. And vice versa. Go into a bear market. Bear markets last a few years. And you look back, oh, these did terrible. Well, guess what? They were taking a lot of risk. And you had a bear market, they're going to do terrible. It's just the nature of the game. So don't pick any investment simply based on the recent few years' performance. You got to look longer term and understand the type of risks that the investment is taking, specifically if mutual funds, which is typically what you're going to be investing in. Understand the level of risk they're taking and is that appropriate for you. And then Another mistake people make is avoiding stocks altogether. They get too conservative. Go on the other side of the spectrum. staying cash, short-term bond funds. They just stay super, super conservative. And this is a mistake, especially if you're very far from retirement. You need to have some allocation to equities and dollar cost average in. Okay? Now, we're here to answer your questions. Get your question to us anytime at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. I really enjoy your show. I listen to you on podcast. My name is Israel. I'm from Florida. And I have a question about a couple of stocks that have gotten beaten up recently. The first one, symbol is POT. They're involved in potash. And the second one is CAT, Caterpillar. I would just like to see what your opinion is about these two stocks. Mainly, I'm interested in the dividend and just seeing what you think would be a good entry point and if you think these companies are worth holding for the long term. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your show. Bye-bye.
All right, he's looking at Caterpillar and Potash, and try to get through them quickly. Caterpillar just downgraded their earnings guidance, their sales guidance. They're not doing well. There's a lack of building or a slowdown in building in China, which has driven a lot of their sales ever since 2009. And the reason is because China in 2009 instituted a massive stimulus program, expanded their level of debt in their economy dramatically. And it was a lot of it was based on building things. And Caterpillar did well, and now that's reversing. So Caterpillar's getting hurt in that sense. And then also in the commodity space, mining, drilling for oil. You need to move dirt. You need to move earth to get at what's under the ground. And Caterpillar's a big benefit, benefactor of that when things are good, and it's very detrimental to them when things are poor. So earnings in 2012 were at $8.90 a share. This year, they're going to be $4.86 a share and drop again another 8% next year. So things are not doing well, and that's why it's fallen. The big question is, has it fallen far enough? And my answer would be no. Now, their dividend looks to be pretty safe. I mean, their payout ratio is only about 50%, even if earnings do fall about another dollar a share. Yeah, I mean, it's still about 60% is their payout ratio. So they got some runway for their dividend. So I think their dividend is probably relatively safe in the short term. But things need to turn around relatively quick for them, for that to be sustainable over the next 5-10 years. And they have a decent amount of debt. So it's very high risk. This is a good indicator of the global economy really being slow and slowing even further. And so I think it's not there yet. That would be my answer. Great to have it on your radar. Caterpillar is a great company. But I would say it's got to get below. Let me look at this chart. There's going to be a big support around $58 a share. Now it's at $65. So another 10% lower or so, that would be a good starting point. But I really think it's probably going more into the mid-40s before it really finds a bottom. That's where I would really like to pick it up. But I like that you have it on a watch list. Just wouldn't pick it up quite yet. And then Potash, kind of similar in respect to the commodity space, not doing so hot, really taking it on the chin. Yield 7.4%. That's very high. Let me take a look at the earnings and the dividend. And their payout ratio is now about 80%. It's pretty high. You know, you're pushing the limits there, but their debt level isn't that high. So I would say that's also a good one to watch and good one to look at. But I would say around the high teens. You're at $20 a share, so I think it could have another maybe 20% downside. But I like what you're looking at. Pretty decent values, good companies, good dividends that still are below that 100% mark. You know, when you give a 100% payout ratio, that's when you really want to get scared. 80% worries me. More. So to me, I would say they're both very risky, but definitely should keep on your watch list. And another 20% down for each, then I would probably start to nibble. Now, don't get left on the outside looking in. Become an InvestTalk insider. It's your key to loads of information. We have a quick read info sheets for you on annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance. We have ETF lists on all different sectors of the market and asset classes to keep an eye out on. And it's all there for you for free if you are an InvestTalk insider, but you have to sign up. You can do that now on InvestTalk.com.
When the market's riding on the plus side, everyone feels they can handle it. But how can you shield and even grow your money when the market's in a down mode? Well, these are times an investment advisor can add value. Learn about the various investment programs from KPP Financial. Look for the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Steve, Justin. Quick question. What is it actually called when you actually look at the rate of return for us over a long period of time? If you want to actually calculate everything for us that'll be deducted for us, taxes and pre-taxes, when you actually receive an income from a fund, based on looking at it right where the actually standards are, far as like if you got something that's been a track record for 30 years that's been yielding 3%, and you calculate that fund, and then you calculate taking out the taxes and et cetera, and you looking at your return from all your actually deductions, what is that term called when you go into deep detail calculations, and do you guys have any suggestion for how to gain monthly income? Love the show. Have a great day.
How do you calculate your, I guess it would be net return? It would be net return. If your mutual funds have certain returns over X period of time, and it sounds like what he's talking about is mutual fund, and they're not taking into account taxes. Okay? If it's a muni bond fund, then there's probably not any taxes to worry about. If you're holding it within an IRA or a 401k, you don't really have to worry about the tax consequences if it's just a traditional mutual fund. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's especially in today's day and age when tax rate's 15-20% for capital gains. Where I worry about it are places like mass limit partnerships where the tax rate's much, much higher. Okay? So that's where I would worry about it. And then how do you get monthly income? You know, bond funds, I think, are the safest, the best way to go. Just a high-grade corporate bond fund, that's probably where I would go. If you're just looking for steady monthly income, that's where I would go. Most dividend stocks, most dividend funds, they're going to pay out quarterly. You're not going to get it monthly. But if you're looking for consistent monthly income, that would be a high-grade corporate bond. Not high yield, because then you start getting into potential high volatility and potential problems in a bear market, etc. And that can even happen in a high-grade corporate bond fund. But they're a lot less sensitive to the economic trends, shall we say, cyclical trends in the economy than a high-yield bond fund. So I would stick with the high-grade, investment-grade corporate bond fund. So let's talk a little bit about... Let's talk about Amazon Prime. It was in our newsletter today. And I'm an Amazon Prime member, and they are celebrating their Emmy for one of their shows for the Amazon streaming service called Transparent, and they're offering, usually it's $100 a year, now it's only $67 a year if you sign up today, Friday. And there's a lot that goes into this. I think it's a really good value. You get free two-day shipping on thousands and thousands of items. I'm not trying to push Amazon. I'm just saying, if you haven't tried it, it's a really good service. You get a free same-day delivery in certain zip codes. They just launched that here in LA, Orange County. You can get free to your doorstep in 2 hours. all types of products. It's pretty crazy. I haven't used it yet, but I do plan on using it soon just to test it out. Then you have unlimited streaming of thousands of shows and movies. It's great. I think it's a much better value than just having Netflix. They have a lot of the same things as Netflix and more, and some things that don't Netflix has that they might not have. You also get free access to 1 million songs via Amazon Music. Now, it's not as good as Spotify. I'm a Spotify member, Spotify subscriber. Much, much better. Spotify, but it's a nice alternative if you're not, you know, maybe an avid music listener, maybe like I am. Unlimited photo storage, that's pretty cool. And then 5 gigabytes of free storage for videos and other files. And you get free access to 500,000 free Kindle titles, which you can download on your phone just through the Kindle app. So there's a lot of great features for not a lot of money. And Amazon has pretty low prices. An analysis by savings.com of roughly 1,500 new products priced at $10 and or more found that about half of the time Amazon did have the best price on the internet. And they compared that to 5,000 retailers. So they do have pretty low prices. What else? And there's a lot of great shows on Amazon streaming service. My favorite, Boardwalk Empire, it's an HBO show. If you haven't watched that, you probably should. It's set in the 1920s, about the Prohibition era, and it's really based on true events and true stories and true people of that time. And it shows you how politics works. And it's really no different today than it was back in the 1930s. That's why I love that show. So, one bad thing about Amazon Prime. Studies show that Amazon Prime members spend significantly more on that site and don't shop around as much. So it kind of pushes you. Amazon has got good algorithms. They push you to buy things. They know how to do it. That's why they're so big. So if you're weak in the knees when it comes to being easily coerced into buying things, it might be counterproductive for you. But if you have some discipline, then I think you'll be all right. Now, if you have a question you want answered, give us a call now. We only have 10 minutes left in the show. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me now on InvestTalk.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Steve sets aside several hours each month for retirement reviews. These are one-to-one personal checkups. For our podcast listeners, it's an even easier process. Do it by Skype or the telephone. It's as convenient as it can be. To arrange it, just visit investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. The staff will do the rest.
Now let's see if we can answer one more question before the hour is up. 888-99-CHART is the number.
Hi, Stephen Justin. I had a quick question about utilities. I know thus far year-to-date utilities has been a pretty consistent mover. I'm looking to get some exposure into the utilities sector. I'm not sure if it might be a better idea to wait until the sector slows down, but if not, my real question is on APU, AmeriGas Partners. Want to hear your thoughts on getting into that or a good spot to get into that and the overall utility sector. Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys on the show.
APU. Well, he's asked about utilities, but APU isn't a utility, so that's why I'm a little confused here. APU is AmeriGas Partners. This is a master limited partnership engaged in the retail propane distribution business to 2 million customers throughout 2,000 locations throughout the United States. They're not doing well because of the price of propane, natural gas, not going down, it is going down, so not doing well. Yield 8.8%, I wouldn't buy it. In a downtrend, doesn't seem like it's ending. In the utility space, yeah, that's a pretty decent space to be in. You know, there were some worries recently about rising interest rates and increase in interest rates that really hurt the sector from the early part of the year, but it's actually held up well You know, I talked earlier about how since the end of July, gold's been up, but also so has utilities, where the rest of the market really has been down. So it's a safe haven play, good yields there. So I like the sector. The valuations are still a little stretched for me, but there are ones out there that are starting to look attractive. So if you are selective, yes, utilities can be a good play. But APU is not a utility, and it's a managed limited partnership, not something I would be involved in. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what hasn't happened since 1990. And that is cash so far this year is outperforming bonds and stocks. Cash. And investors are piling into cash and equivalents for the first time a lot higher flow than what's going into bond funds and stock funds. Bond funds saw $400 million in inflows over the last week, and stock funds saw $3.3 billion taken out, and $17 billion were pumped into cash funds. Only $400 million into bond funds. So this is the first time that has happened since 1990. It's pretty wild. And really what's happening is that recent market moves have investors wondering if QE is really effective and if it's really going to have an upside impact on equity markets. And until the market really understands, I think, how much economic fallout there's been from the stock market fallout, I think we're going to see a lot of choppiness. But that's the big question I think the market has. Yeah, the economic numbers are doing okay, but a lot of that hasn't reflected the big drop at the end of August and the continuing fall we've seen here in September. So how will that affect? You already saw consumer confidence take a little bit of a hit. And people are pulling money out. $7.4 billion has been pulled out of the SPY, the S&P 500 ETF, the world's largest ETF. And this is what I talk about all the time. Everyone's saying, index, just index. That's all you need to do. You'll do great. Low fees. Yes, that's true. In a bull market, sure. But guess what? This recent bull market is very rare. And has been not nearly as choppy as most bull markets, with very few pullbacks, all because of QE. The market knew the Fed had their back. When you get into a bear market, you get into choppy markets, indexes don't work. You need to be tactical. Luckily, we're able to do that at KP Financial, and hopefully you are as well with your portfolio. And if you aren't, give us a call. Now, before we close the hour, check out our balanced income program. Steady income for those who can't stand too much risk. It's income focused with moderate volatility and a value-oriented bent and value-oriented diversification. To find out more, click on the investment tab on investtalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein. On behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.